Funding for Think comes from SMU Graduate Liberal Studies programs.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. This country that we are all grateful for has been shaped by people from all over the world. So while many of us will eat the standard turkey and gravy feast tomorrow for Thanksgiving, countless cooks will also prepare dishes and ingredients that reflect their families' histories in faraway places. We want to spend this hour talking about some of the global flavors that are worth making room for amid the stuffing, sweet potatoes, and cranberry sauce. Joining me for today's discussion are Shelley Nan, owner of Bamboo Thai, and Abraham Saloom. He was born and raised in a Lebanese and Italian family living in Mexico City.
Correct.
And today he is chef and owner of Saloom Restaurant in Dallas. Welcome both of you to Think.
Thanks for having us.
So we'll start with the easy stuff. What is your favorite traditional Thanksgiving dish and how do you prepare it?
For me, it's Avico traditional and also Asian. Mm-hmm. And so both kind of dishes. And I normally prepare my turkey with the fruit stuffing and not so much in butter. And so like in low heat, cook for about 6 or 7 hours. And all the moisture would come from the fruit stuffing and the vegetable stuffing that I have in there. So it's like very light and not so buttery taste to it like that. So that's how my turkey is.
So you don't want to pass out after you eat your turkey.
Exactly, exactly.
What kinds of fruits do you use?
I use like apples, pears, and like a pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
And that fruit called persimmon?
Persimmon.
Persimmon, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I use that one too. And there's a celery, some vegetables, some and carrots, a lot of onions mm-hmm. for the base of the turkey so you won't get burned. And so any kind of vegetable that I can find that's sweet, and I would throw it in there.
Oh, that sounds great. What about you, Abraham?
We do a very traditional Thanksgiving. My mother-in-law is a great cook, and I think the best part of it is I don't have to cook most of the time.
Yeah, it's nice to have a day off, right?
Yes, exactly. And but I just, she does turkey and green beans and sweet potatoes, Brussels sprouts, mashed potatoes. I mean, it's just this incredible array of food that she makes. But it's always, I think what's so special to me about Thanksgiving is it's one of those holidays. I didn't grow up with Thanksgiving, and it's just wonderful. It's about family, spending time with the ones you love, you know, having good wine and good conversation, and there's no pressure of gifts or, you know, nothing. It's just it's a good, easy day.
Yes.
Yeah, it may be the best American holiday, I think, because
I think
everybody
it
agrees on it.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Because, like same here for me, too. I didn't grow up having Thanksgiving, but I incorporate Thanksgiving into my family. And so it's like we have, like, friends and family would come over and just to share food and share thoughts, you know, what's been going on with their life through the whole year and what's, you know, what are they doing as of today. And that's how we share our Thanksgiving.
Was there anything that when you both arrived here that was on the traditional Thanksgiving table that Americans were like eating like crazy and you thought, I cannot believe that's a thing? Like, is there anything that we take for granted if we were born in this country that seems strange if you've grown up eating different foods?
I thought the sweet potatoes with marshmallows were very strange.
Yeah.
So sweet.
It was just too sweet.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think what more surprised me the most was the amount of food.
Yeah.
And the variety. It's like, do we really need all this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd usually have enough food for 30 people.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if there's 10 at the
yes.
table.
Yes, yes.
Well, I want to talk about leftovers because this is a thing, you know, lots of people are happy to kind of repeat the Thanksgiving meal until all the food is gone. But for turkey in particular, a lot of times people want to do something different with it the day after. Do y'all have any ideas for turkey-based dishes or dishes that include turkey that maybe taste very different from what we had on Thanksgiving?
Sometimes, like my mom, she would turn that turkey into turkey soup. And so make a soup out of it. And so the flavoring from the turkey and all that has been cooked with it, so it has a lot of flavor. And so we make that into a very savory soup.
So does that include like a stock from the bones? Is that
yes.
how you go?
Mm-hmm. All the turkey bone and all the what's left of the turkey meat, you kind of shred it down and make it into a soup.
We've done a turkey pot pie. And it's, you know, you can use most of the vegetables that are left over.
Yeah.
So you use the vegetables, you use a turkey, you use the gravy. All you have to have is, you know, make your dough to make the pie dough, and you're done. So it turns out really nice.
Mm-hmm. I've been laughing lately. First of all, everything is pumpkin spice lately, right? It's everywhere. And now there's this pumpkin spice backlash and people who just cannot stand this combination of flavors. I'm wondering if there are alternatives that might work with things like pumpkin pies or even sweet potatoes that we don't necessarily think of on Thanksgiving, but that would be a good sort of flavor complement.
Well, my partner, I have this joke going because he says, you know, it's pumpkin pie this, pumpkin spice this and that. And I go, well, that's cinnamon and allspice.
Right.
It's not pumpkin spice. It's just cinnamon and allspice. Right. And we have this conversation pretty often during these holidays. I think it's just things are overspiced. So we're all tired of the cinnamon and allspice combination. But, I mean, you could substitute a lot of things for those spices. Use a tiny little bit of cardamom instead of using cinnamon and allspice. Or use, you know, take it out of your pie completely. Put some molasses in there, maybe a little bit of orange zest in it, and it'll give it a completely different flavor. And you get away from pumpkin spice.
I totally agree with that.
I always like savory pumpkin dishes, and it seems like something that we don't think of very often. Like, we assume that pumpkin equals sugar.
Yeah. Right. Yes. And it's very common. I put on my menu this month for November at Saloom a pumpkin bruschetta, and it has bacon, it has pine nuts, tomato, onion, and people go, that's a weird combination with a sweet pumpkin. And no, sweet pumpkins are not sweet.
Right.
When you just roast the pumpkin. But we're, you know, because everybody thinks the canned pumpkin, it is sweet. But if you do it fresh, it isn't.
One thing that I love about the holidays, especially the ones like Thanksgiving that bring extended families together, is that we have this opportunity to learn from relatives how to make the things that we've eaten from their tables for years and years. Because so many times grandma has made something so many times she couldn't possibly write down the recipe for you, but she can sort of stand there and show you. And I wonder if you both have memories of learning to cook with relatives as kids.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, my mom, for example, she does everything by taste. And she's with me at the restaurant, so I always had to tell her, you cannot just do it by taste. You have to make sure this exact measurement here and there. But for her, it's like that's her style of cooking. And so when she cooks it, she remembers the taste, and she would have all of her ingredients, and she has to make it the right way, the way she was taught on doing it. And then it might take, like, for her to do a certain dish, like, for a long time to do it. But then, like, if there are certain things that she doesn't have in her ingredients-wise, the dish would not happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, on my standpoint, it's like, you know, we always get into an argument, like, you know, why can't you make it this way? You can do a little bit shortcut in this way here. She said no. And that's very typical of my mom. And when it comes to her cooking, she is that way. And so
there's one right way to get it done.
There's one right way to get it, yes, and mm-hmm. or there's no way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had two grandmothers that were amazing cooks. One of them was Lebanese. And I remember, I think one of the strongest memories I have from when I was a little kid is walking into her pantry and smelling the clarified butter, which she didn't know the term for it. She just said she was preparing her butter, mm-hmm. which is, she clarified a whole bunch of butter and made ghee out of it.
That's so you can fry it at high temperature.
Exactly. And yeah, all the milk solids disappear. She had oregano and olives. And garlic and all those smells I remember from when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, those things go away when you leave the house and, you know, mm-hmm. grow up. And then little things remind you. I was just in Morocco last month, and it brought back, the markets brought back so many memories just because of the smells. And yeah, I mean, I would always be looking over her shoulder and see what she was doing. I've always loved food. So.
Yeah, same here.
Is there a spice that you all have in your cabinets based on the sort of family traditions that you grew up with that maybe your neighbors who have always cooked American food don't have and are missing out on?
I have za'atar.
Oh, which is like kind of a sour
Za'atar is a combination of herbs, and it has sesame seeds in it as well. And it's oregano, and it has a little bit of cardamom, a little bit of coriander, and cumin, sesame seeds, and it's a great spice. You mix that with a little bit of olive oil and spray it on a piece of pita bread and bake it, and it's just, your whole house is going to smell delicious, but it tastes so good.
It's one of my children's favorite things, and I've never been able to quite duplicate it at home the way we've had it when we've eaten out.
Yeah, za'atar is, I have it at home.
Right. And as for me, it's like maybe what my mom, she does is she grows herbs, and so we always have like a kefir lime leaves. That's her baby. The kefir lime leaves is like, you know, she would, in a Thai household, you would always have one of that. And so it's basic, almost a basic ingredient and herbs to go in the live dishes. Kefir lime leaves, lemongrass, and chili peppers. Mm-hmm. It's Thai chili peppers, and that's what the spices we have. Always growing up in our fridge, we would always have that.
How does lemongrass have to be really fresh in order to taste good? You can buy it, but sometimes it's it tastes a little tired if you grab it off the shelf in a store.
It has to be fresh, and fresh meaning like it doesn't have to be freshly cut. You know, on that one is that you can buy a fresh one, a lemongrass stock from the store. It still tastes good, mm-hmm. as long as like you know when you cut into it, you know it has that fresh cut sound to it and the lemongrass. And same thing is for kefir lime leaves too. And you know when what we use at the restaurant is like it's freshly picked from our plant in our garden, and then. We use that, you know, most of our ingredients that and consists of kefir lime leaves, we use the fresh one. And it is very, very fragrant.
When you're cooking with lime, do you prefer the little key limes rather than the larger one?
The larger one. Mm-hmm. The key lime, it's like, it's good, but then it doesn't have that much juice to it.
And a lot of seeds.
And if you're doing a lot of them, that's a consideration,
yeah.
right?
Correct. Yeah.
So when you are participating in cooking Thanksgiving dinner, how far ahead do you get started? For people who are maybe listening to this and starting to get work on things today, you need to start the day before, right, at least?
Yes.
It really depends on how fast you are.
Yeah, because for me, I start mine tonight by doing a dry rub on my turkey. Mm-hmm. And then,
all right, what's in your rub? Excuse me for interrupting.
It's like there's garlics. There's lemongrass, and there is peppers, and a little bit of salt, and a little bit of brown sugar. And so so kind of dry rub it and to the turkey and let it, you know, baste in that dry rub for a few hours, and then do my stuffing, and then bake it early morning and for 6 hours.
Any good alternatives to, like, the starches that tend to weigh people down on Thanksgiving? There is so much, you know, there's sweet potatoes, and then there's white potatoes, and then there's bread. Are there good ways to sort of, if not bypass those entirely, maybe offer an alternative?
We do Brussels sprouts, and there's always green beans, and I've never had a green bean casserole. Because we always
do
French green beans.
Crumpled onions on top and all that.
We always do... you know, fresh green beans. Mm-hmm. We saute them just in olive oil and maybe put some almonds in it or something. So we always have, and we always have a salad of some kind. Mm-hmm. It's not always eaten all the way.
But it's there,
but
right?
It's there.
It's colorful on the table.
Absolutely.
We're speaking this hour about creative Thanksgiving ideas with Abraham Saloom, owner of Saloom Restaurant, and Shelly Nan, owner of Bamboo Thai. If you'd like to be part of our conversation, either ask a question about Thanksgiving or maybe talk about a tradition that your family has, we would love to hear from you now at 1-800-933-5372. You can also email think@kera.org or send me a tweet at Chris Boyd Think.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Graduate Liberal Studies programs. Accepting applications for January to design your own Master of Liberal Studies degree at SMU with concentrations in Global Studies, Creative Writing, and Organizational Dynamics. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. We're speaking this hour with Shelley Nan of Bamboo Thai and Abraham Saloom of Saloom about creative Thanksgiving ideas. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 1-800-933-5372, or you can email think at kera.org, or, of course, send me a tweet at Chris Boyd Think. I recently learned that there were several kinds of fish on the table at the original Pilgrims Thanksgiving, and nobody thinks about fish anymore. As someone who doesn't eat a lot of meat, fish is meat, but I'm always happy when that's out there. Are there ideas that you would suggest for incorporating fish into a Thanksgiving-type meal?
Yeah, that could happen. And that's it's either for my family here, we would either do steamed fish mm-hmm. or we do grilled fish. Like that, and then just the fish is always like a good meeting when you have fish on the table. Like especially since I'm married to a Chinese person, so Chinese New Year's, you know, you would always have fish
for good luck,
mm-hmm. yeah, for good, but sort of like prosperity.
Yeah,
and all this. So it's one of the meal that you need to have is fish, mm-hmm. and that. So, but for Thanksgiving, I don't usually cook fish, but we do. Grill some fish during Thanksgiving time, too.
Yeah, I think it'd be a great idea to have some, mm-hmm. you know, especially because everything else is so heavy.
Yeah.
Have
yeah.
a lighter option for protein.
Or else it's just one more thing that we eat on top
exactly.
of everything else. All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-933-5372 is our number. Zach is on the line in Fort Worth. Hey, Zach.
Hi. I when you was mentioning something to replace some of the starches, mm-hmm. You mentioned Brussels sprouts. And I would like a better way to cook Brussels sprouts rather than just boil them, because I don't really know of a good way to do them. And nobody ever wants to eat them because they're always just boiled and taste like mush.
Well, you've come to the right place, Zach. Let's get an answer for you. Thanks for your call.
I'll take my answer off here.
All right.
Well, the way we do Brussels sprouts is we slice them very, very thin. So instead of just cutting them in half and boiling them, we slice them thin. Then I saute them with a little bit of garlic and shallots. If you want to put a little mm-hmm. bit of bacon in there, it'll give it even more flavor. And then finish it with a little bit of butter, balsamic vinegar,
yes.
salt and pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be fantastic. Everybody's going to rave about your Brussels sprouts.
Anything you'd add to that, Shelley?
No, that's perfect. That's how I cook my Brussels sprout, too.
And they have to be fresh, right? A lot of us grew
yes.
up with the frozen kind, and those are just
no,
awful.
It has yeah. to be fresh, yeah.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go next on the phone to Sean in Richardson. Hi, Sean.
Hi, this is Sean. I'm originally from India, mm-hmm. and I've been in here since 97, and I've been doing Thanksgiving turkey also. But one thing I do due to my Indian influence is just to marinate the entire turkey with yogurt.
Mm.
Just not the store brand yogurt, but actually an cultured yogurt.
Like that you made yourself?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I don't make it myself, but you can get it in the natural food store.
Uh-huh.
I get one in Tom Tom, and it is in a glass bottle. Mm-hmm. And I just marinate it with yogurt and add a lot of chili powder and turmeric and the other spices, whatever spices you want. What this yogurt does is it just loosens up the meat and also infuses all the spices inside the meat, and it comes out delicious and really, really good.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you so much for that.
That sounds like a really good way of tenderizing the meat.
I recently saw a recipe where you take a whole head of cauliflower and cover it with yogurt and then whatever spices you like, and you then cut it into steaks, and it's actually really good.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go to Chip in Corsicana. Hey, Chip.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Great. Thank you.
When I was growing up, I think the gentleman was talking about his grandmother. Everything was by smell and taste.
That was Shelley. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I apologize. My mom had no measuring cups at all or spoons or anything. Everything was done, you know, a pinch of this, a dash of that. And if she was sick, you did not want her in the kitchen because whatever she was making would be bad. But she would start like a week before making pies, and everybody would get their favorite pie. Hmm. Each one of the kids, each one of the relatives. So whatever, you know, mincemeat or pecan or cherry or whatever kind of pie you like, that would be the pie, and that would be your dessert. You got to take whatever was left over home.
Ooh,
it was
sounds,
really, really awesome.
Sounds like a good deal.
Right.
Would like that.
Dessert, we haven't talked about too much yet, but that's always like a major thing. And everybody, if they can, people at least talk about saving room for dessert. And we think about pumpkin pie and pecan pie and fruit pies. There are other things we can do. There are like bread puddings and rice puddings. And I wonder if you all ever do something other than pie.
We do very traditional, the pies. But I got to tell you a funny story. A few years ago, I was talking to someone at the restaurant, and they had a really big meal. Mm-hmm. You know, they had four or five courses and wine and everything. And then I said, did you save room for dessert? And the lady said, well, dessert is a whole other stomach. I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, you know, at Thanksgiving, everybody is just so full. Nobody can eat another bite. Desserts come out, and suddenly you have room again. So I always say that desserts is, you know, it's another stomach.
That's good.
So,
yeah. Good to
but,
know.
Yeah, we do very, very typical. And my mother-in-law makes a rum cake that is out of this world. So we always have the rum cake, pecan pie, and pumpkin pie.
As for my family, my mom, she does not know how to make cakes. And so she is specialized in rice, using rice as a dessert, form of dessert, like her black rice pudding, where she would cook the black rice for a long period of time and then like until it's kind of soft and al dente a little bit, and then put a little bit of sugar in it so it's and continue on to cook and serve warm with some coconut milk.
Mm.
And so that's,
sounds good.
And it's very, it's like savory, you know, and very comforting after, even though like a lot of food on Thanksgiving, you can have maybe a small bowl of that one. And another one that she loves to make is the, is what you call kotomat in Thai. It's like a steamed dumplings, steamed rice dumplings. She make that, you know, it's like when you cook the rice, it's this, the rice that we're talking about is a sticky rice. Mm-hmm. And so she would cook that first and then put some coconut milk into it and a little bit of sweetness to it. And then she would stuff it with bananas inside and then wrap it with banana leaves and steam it until it was cooked. And towards the end, she would grill those. And that's what I grew up eating it when she was making it when I was young. And then we didn't have the privilege to have cakes. You know, she does not know how to make cakes.
Sounds so, like you weren't missing out, though.
Well, it's a lot of rice, you know. And that. Rice is a dessert, you know, on that one. But another one that she loves to make, since we're talking about pumpkins, mm-hmm. it's her pumpkin dessert, where she would cook the pumpkins and boil it in water and put some sweetness into it and put some ginger on it and then make it into a dessert. And it's kind of like a medicine, too, because of ginger. Ginger kind of calms you internally, and it's therapeutic.
Gives you that other stomach that you need, right?
Exactly.
There's a Mexican dessert that's very similar. Mm-hmm. It's called calabaza en tacha, and mm-hmm. it's basically you poach the pumpkin in a little bit of water with piloncillo, which is the raw sugar. They're little brown cones you've seen at the grocery store, and cinnamon. Mm-hmm. So you create a syrup with the piloncillo and the cinnamon stick, and you poach the pumpkin in that, and it becomes so tender and super flavorful. And that's how they serve it, and you serve it cold.
Mm-hmm. Do both of you? I know that there is like squash blossom in Mexican cooking. Mm-hmm. Is there squash blossom in Thai cooking as well?
There is, but we don't use it as a form of dessert. You know, it's more like as form of
just a vegetable kind of vegetable.
We don't use it for dessert, but we use it for a vegetable.
I'm just thinking about squash and all the many things you could do with it. Let's go back to the phones here, 1-800-933-5372. We have, Tina Wasserman is on the phone. Hey, Tina.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Hi, Tina.
How you doing?
She's been a guest on the show before, and she's the author of Entree to Judaism, A Culinary Exploration of the Jewish Diaspora. So she is an experienced cook and cooking teacher. Sorry for that introduction, which is unusual, Tina, but what's on your mind?
Well, I was thinking about the international foods, and I was thinking about my sweet potato pumpkin cazuela, which I always joke with people. It's a great alternative to the sweet potatoes with the marshmallows on top, but don't try to put marshmallows on top, which leads me to listening to your guests who have been very enlightening. I almost want some of those recipes, especially the last ones you were talking about, is that we must never forget that the most important guest at our tables is a memory. And so if you want, and this is the holiday where everybody, I mean, I'm getting calls. Everybody's trying new recipes. What do you think is happening with this? What is going on with that? You know, should I try this? Always, never substitute. My suggestion is to always try to add. And as much as we talk about how much food is on the table, we all know it's a groaning board this time of year, you know, and you make more foods because if you have that many guests, you can try something new. You know, and so that's what I was struck by. So I do a Moroccan vegetable stew, you know, it's just as you were talking about, Avram, because it's something different, another way to incorporate the sweet potato, you know. And the other thing that struck me a number of years ago, which you haven't talked about yet, and I'd be very interested to hear, and I'll take your answer offline, is the concept of brining. I mean, originally it started out, you know, just telling people how to brine a turkey, and now you can buy all the brining mixes in the stores. And what I found very interesting was about 10 years ago, Gourmet magazine said, don't go to the trouble, just buy a kosher turkey. Because by definition, to be kosher, it has to be salted and soaked. So essentially, it's been brined.
Mm-hmm. That's a great shortcut.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I did find out yesterday, this is a non-paid political announcement, I found a non-frozen kosher turkey at, of all places, Trader Joe's.
No
kidding. I was shocked.
Yeah, wow.
After I had shipped one in from Atlanta for $5 a pound.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll have turkey another time. But I would be interested to hear both of your guests' opinions about brining and if they do brine, what they do to the turkey. And thank you very much, and have a wonderful holiday, everybody.
You too. Great to hear from you, Tina.
Well, I have brined the turkey before, and I did a very simple brine. It was water, sugar. I put a little bit of orange juice and herbs, and just gave it a little more moisture, and it wasn't, you know, not that it was dry, because I try to be careful all the time with timing and temperatures, but it gave it another flavor. It was really nice.
Mm-hmm. What about you? Do you brine a turkey?
No,
Shelley?
I don't. Mm-hmm. So I never brine my turkey. So
it's hard in some kitchens to find, and I like the idea of buying a kosher turkey. It's hard. Not everybody has space to have the turkey in a bucket for however long it takes to get this done.
Right, yeah. Right.
We put it in an ice chest that time. Mm-hmm. In an ice chest and a clean bag. And that way we could hold, you know, it would be covering the whole thing. And it worked out well.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next to Tim in Arlington. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm driving, but I'm listening and enjoying the show. So I know we always talk about the classic Thanksgiving desserts, and of course, it's already been being mentioned, what I'll always make, be a pumpkin pie and a pecan pie. A couple of years ago, my daughter stumbled onto a recipe in Ruth Reichel's Gourmet Cookbook. It's the first one that came out, the yellow jacketed one. And it is a combo pumpkin pecan pie.
Oh, something
and
for everyone.
And basically what she does, and you can do it yourself, but the recipe is a little bit better to follow. But basically it's just a unbaked shell pie with the bottom layer being pumpkin, and then the top layer being a pecan pie. Because, of course, you know, the pumpkin, always a little bit bland, needs some kind of love, some kind of extra thing, and the pecan is always a little too cloyingly sweet and overwhelming. Well, when you have the two layers, you get the best of both worlds in one slice of pie.
How do you cook it? Sort of the same way that you would cook a pecan pie for the same amount of time.
Exactly.
Super.
Like I said, if you really want to get it exactly, it's in her cookbook, and that's where I got it from. And I'm driving right now, so I'm doing a lot of this from memory. And
all right, well, drive safely, but I'm sure we can find that online if we need it. Thank you so much for the suggestion.
It's a great recipe, and then just two other little things about that. One, I've got a hint is. Take canned pumpkin, cook it 10 minutes on low and slow simmer in a pan, You'll get rid of all the metallic flavor. It'll evaporate a little bit of moisture and intensify the flavor. And second, if you're going to make any pie like this, go find a little bottle of Steen's, S-T-E-E-N, Steen's Grain Sorghum Syrup. It will change your life. You'll leave molasses behind because it is a glorious product. I use it in anything that calls for molasses. Gives a great non-sulfured flavor. Wonderful product.
So glad you called, Tim. Thank you so much. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, y'all too. See ya.
All right, take care. We haven't talked about things to drink at Thanksgiving. And, of course, every culture has its alcoholic beverages that are especially delicious. Of course, we I think all of us all over the world also are in the habit of sometimes importing things to drink. Do you all have particular beverages that must be on the table at Thanksgiving?
We start with champagne and just work our way up.
Or down.
Yeah. It depends on the time of the day. Yes. But usually while we're cooking, you know, some Prosecco or Cava or champagne, and then move to wine and maybe a cocktail before dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But the hard thing is not what to drink, but how much to drink.
Yeah.
You have to pace yourself. Yes, you have to pace yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like with food.
Mm-hmm. Are there particular traditional Thai feast beverages that would be different maybe from standard?
Well, most of the Thais, they love their scotch, you know, scotch and whiskey and that one. But so, and as for Thais, we don't have Thanksgiving. And every day it's a meal for us, you know. So when we get together, it's like, for one thing, get together, like, there's a lot of food, there's a lot of drinks, you know. For me, I am a big, big-time person for sparkling or champagne. Mm-hmm. That's how I start my drinks with. And then I go from there to wine. And we have tequila, too.
You have to have tequila.
Tequila. And definitely scotch and whiskey. And it's all types, you know, from vodkas to all those. And
yeah, it's really...
Go ahead. You got a little time.
Okay, it's really interesting. Our cultures couldn't be more different. But it's all about family, food, getting together, you know, enjoying, and there's always alcohol.
Yes.
My guests are Abraham Saloom of Saloom Restaurant and Shelley Nan of Bamboo Thai. We're talking about creative Thanksgiving ideas. You can join us at 1-800-933-5372.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Graduate Liberal Studies programs. Accepting applications for January to design your own Master of Liberal Studies degree at SMU with concentrations in Global Studies, Creative Writing, and Organizational Dynamics. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. We're talking this hour about creative additions to your Thanksgiving table with Shelley Nan of Bamboo Thai and Abraham Saloom of Saloom Restaurant. If you'd like to join us, call 1-800-933-5372, email think@kera.org, or send me a tweet at Chris Boyd Think. Next on the phone here, we have Melanie in Dallas. Hey, Melanie.
Hi. Really enjoying the show, as always, and just wanted to make two quick comments. The first was for the guy looking for Brussels sprouts recipes. If he's anything like me, it's about an hour before dinner and all your vegetables are still sitting around, and roasted Brussels sprouts or just about roasted any vegetable is so fast, so easy, and so good. So just to throw that out.
Awesome.
And then the second story is completely different, from a very different tradition. I grew up in a completely different part of the country and was the granddaughter of Polish immigrants. And we grew up in a very tight Polish community. And when I was growing up, of course, I was dying for somebody to make white bread stuffing. But no, my grandmother made a stuffing, and I'm not making these ingredients up, that consisted of dried mushrooms that had been sent from Poland, ground beef, salt pork, barley, and sauerkraut, rinsed and very thinly sliced, and then she baked it, and people came from miles around just to try and get some of her stuffing. I never understood it, loved her dearly for it, but it's just a very different take on Thanksgiving.
It sounds amazing. Thank you so much for your call.
You bet. Take care.
Yeah, it tells her. I think stuffing is one of those things that everybody makes their own way. I have a friend who makes it with oysters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people just don't like oysters. But a couple of years ago, we did a piece for the newspaper where they asked us, they asked several chefs to come up with a recipe that involved some of the ingredients that our cultures had for Thanksgiving. So I think I did three recipes. One of them were chipotle cheese biscuits.
Mm.
Then I did a green bean casserole using a cream of poblano peppers. And then it was a pecan Mexican chocolate pie.
Mm.
And some of the other recipes were really fun. You know, they were completely different. And I think just, you know, if you want to stick to the traditional, which is, you know, part of the holiday, that's what makes the holiday. It's great. But if you want to do one different thing, just incorporate something, be a little adventurous and try something different.
You know, Melanie mentioning sauerkraut made me think about, you know, people sometimes will have like a little dish of pickles on the table just to kind of break things up.
Yes.
Right. And I wonder, like, what are Thai pickles like? What kinds of vegetables get pickled?
We pickles like from anything from cabbage to cucumbers and different types of vegetable, like the mustard vegetables. And we pickle those too. But in our household, you know, for the holidays, like Thanksgiving, like this, you know, the pickle stuff we don't usually serve that. But what we do is salad called papaya salad. And because it's like it's shredded papaya, and so it has lime citrus and some spice to it, and so and that's what we serve as one of the dishes in our Thanksgiving. So
and
that
it's green papaya. Right?
It's green papaya. It's like, you know, it's like if you're having something heavy, and when you eat that, it kind of helps digestion and makes you, you know, where you can eat more of other stuff. That's what it is. You know,
papaya. Sounds good.
It's very. You know, you should try it next time.
I've had the green papaya salad. It's fantastic.
If you come to Bamboo, there, you know, and
promise.
It's like, you know, I'm gonna have like it's the authentic from the Isan region. You know, the bubola is pungent because we use the preserved crabs and anchovy into it, so it's like a little stronger flavor. But it's a lot of flavor.
In Mexican food, we don't pickle a lot of things. We do pickle onions. And especially in the area of the Yucatan, we use the pickled onions for the cochinita pibil and for different dishes. But we don't have a big tradition of pickling things. But we use, like in Thai cuisine, we use a lot of lime.
Yes, yes.
So if you get a little cabbage on top of something, it'll usually be dressed with lime juice and salt and pepper.
Because anything with citrus and lime is going to taste really good.
Well,
right.
It cleanses your palate,
yes.
So it makes it makes you feel like you're eating something healthy. You know?
Yeah.
But see, like the way my mom, she pickles her vegetable, like for example, cabbage here. What she does, like she would cut the cabbage into pieces and kind of knead it down to soften the cabbage a little bit with salt. And then she would just let it sit for a day or so. And the next day, what she would do is like the rice water that you wash the rice with, you know, like you soak the rice with, she would pour it into that pickling and put a little bit of rice into it. So it helps with the fermentation. It's a very classic, the way you pickle vegetables. And that's how she does it. It's very simple, just like simple salt and a little bit of rice and rice water.
And how long does it take for them to be ready?
It should be depending on the temperature. You know, if it's in the summertime, it's only 2 days. And you would taste the sourness of it. And then after it's done, you can just refrigerate it.
It's funny. I think, you know, I truly believe that food, the way we prepare things came out of necessity.
Mm-hmm.
They use the rice water to cook. We drink it.
Horchata.
Horchata, exactly. Mm-hmm. You put a little bit of sugar in it and a little bit of cinnamon and, you know, you got a nice refreshing drink.
Can you do an horchata like with the food processor and grind up the rice or?
Yeah, you can. Well, you have to soak the rice first. Mm-hmm. But yes, you can. Mm-hmm. And there's also, you can make it with almonds. So it's basically almond milk.
Mm-hmm.
Or in Spain, it's very common. They call chufas. And they're these little seeds, these little round seeds that are not easy to get here. But it tastes just fantastic.
When things are left over in your house, does everybody kind of divide everything up and take stuff home? Is that how it works?
We do. We take
at the end of the meal.
Yeah. We'll eat them for a couple more days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just like take whatever you want to take. You know, on that, just make sure everybody has plenty to eat, and whatever's left over, then you can take it.
Is there an ideal time that you think? I ask this for personal reasons. My husband and I are debating. What time should Thanksgiving dinner start? Times it starting.
Mine starts when I start cooking.
Like you're nibbling and people are coming in the kitchen and
I start When I start cooking, that's when I start like, you know, tasting stuff and drinking. And then like my family would usually show up like around 1 or 2 like that. And then I have friends, you know, that would come in around 3 or 4. And it would go on to all the way to nighttime because we just didn't have turkey. Like my husband, he loves to do the prime ribs, you know. Mm-hmm. And then he does just a simple prime ribs, just like, and then he would do like a lot of that. So my niece and nephew would be looking forward to the prime ribs.
And they not skip just the turkey and go to the prime rib.
So, and then that's what we have, like varieties of food from prime ribs to like king crab legs to like ham, spiral ham, and just all kinds of food. And then we always have a carb dish in which it's like for my family, we do the noodle dish. Mm-hmm. So it's filling, and then it's you know, when you're drinking a lot, having a lot of food, you want to have that soup brothy, good soup to drink, and then the noodles in it, and then you could add your own spice. So anybody can make their own soup, and that's what we have out there.
We usually have an early dinner, you know, a 4 o'clock dinner or something like that. And that way you're full, but you're not going to go to bed.
Right.
Stuffed.
Right.
You've digested part of it, at least.
Yeah,
by the time you get to bed.
Right?
Yes.
Exactly.
You have a little time.
Exactly. Are there things that you have, Abraham, you said your mother-in-law usually makes the Thanksgiving dinner that you guys have, but often in families, everybody brings something. And is there something that for both of you, you're not the best at making this item, but someone that you know is like the one, and you just ask them every time to bring the potatoes or whatever it is?
We do a very small dinner. Mm-hmm. Usually we're only 5 or 6. So she makes most of it, and I don't mess with the pies. I'm not a baker. I enjoy doing it, and I can do a decent job. But
it's a whole different skill set.
It is. And you know, the last time I helped her with a pie, we were not communicating, and she took. She's going to be laughing if she hears this. She took the mix for the pie and she put it in the sink and turned around, and then I turned around and I turned on the water because I thought it was just a dirty bowl. And then she goes, "Where's my pie? Where's my pie filling?" We couldn't find the pie filling. And I said, "Oh, was it in that bowl? It's already clean over there." So, I don't mess with her pies. But
that's when it's time to open another bottle of wine.
Right? Yes.
Or drink some water.
Okay, so what have we not talked about here? All right, does everything have to be homemade? Are there shortcuts that are okay to take? I for one, am not a fan of like cranberry sauce from a can, but maybe there are things that even professional chefs.
I think it's up to each person.
Yeah.
You know, I love Thanksgiving, and I've been celebrating since I came to the U.S. The first time I had Thanksgiving, I had it in Mexico with a friend who was from the U.S., and I fell in love with the holiday. Mm-hmm. But I think a big part of the holiday is just doing everything from scratch.
Yeah.
The time you spend cooking and entertaining, and, you know, your family comes and they help chop a little something here or there, or just sit by the kitchen, drink a glass of wine while you're cooking. I think that's the biggest part of the holiday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for me, it's like, you know, every year we have my sister and I, we have a turkey competition. And so every single time, it's like, you know, one year she came in and her turkey did not turn out nice. It doesn't look that nice. It's like, oh my God. It's like she did a fried turkey. Mm-hmm. And it was like dark, you know. But the flavor was there.
Great.
And so it's like, you know, we always ask, like, which turkey is better? You know, it's like, you know. And so if new friends that came to our house that doesn't know us yet, so they would say, this one's better. So, oh, here we go. Here is the competition that we go. It's like, you know, you're always competing with the who makes the best turkey.
So is it a vicious competition or is it a friendly competition?
A friendly competition. It's
depending
just like,
on the
it's
wine
fun.
You drink.
It's fun. I think, you know, that Thanksgiving is a time that, you know, that you want to cook and not do any shortcut. You share the time of cooking together and then you talk it out, you know, how did it go wrong and what's the outcome of it? You know, I do enjoy that. You know, Thanksgiving is, you know, like I say, you know, the holidays. I love the holidays.
As long as you stay away from politics and religion.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
There's none.
You know. Talk about everything else.
Yes, we don't talk about politics. We don't talk about religion or anything.
Nope.
Those are closed doors.
Do you, like, it's funny to me about Thanksgiving that people may like turkey okay, but that's nobody's favorite thing about the holiday. And it's just strange to me that it always has to be at the center of a Thanksgiving dinner. And, you know, it's, we don't eat it much the rest of the year.
No, that's true. We eat deli meat, you know, turkey deli meat, but we don't eat the turkey. In Mexico, we have turkey for Christmas. Mm-hmm. People usually bake a turkey for Christmas, along with other things. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a custom. You know, it's just part of the holiday, and some people do the turkey really, really well, and the gravy fantastic, and then other people eat dry turkey. In this case, it's not always about what you're eating, but who you're eating with.
Exactly.
And who prepared it. Mm-hmm. You
know? It makes the whole company.
Yeah. I have a bread pudding at the restaurant that's really, really good. And a man came in and said, I'm from New Orleans and I know bread pudding. And then he tasted it and he goes, it's really, really good, but it's not like my mother. So I said, no, you love your mother. You might like me, but you love your mother.
Right.
So, you know, it's the love you put in things.
Exactly.
It's what makes a difference. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny. My mom's potato salad, she's the only other human on the planet that can make the potato salad that I want to eat.
Of course.
And I'm sure I've eaten lots of other good potato salad.
Yeah. And I might taste the potato salad and go, yeah, it's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, maybe I make it better.
Right. Right. Exactly. Okay, so we haven't talked about mashed potatoes. I don't know. Do you guys even do mashed potatoes?
Yes, Shelley? We do.
Do you gravy with them?
No, we just do like a regular the mashed potato we do this year. Sometimes we do like a sweet potato mashed potato with truffle oil. So sometimes we do that.
Mm. You're getting fancy.
Yeah, because like, you know, but you know, Thanksgiving you have to go all the way out.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And that is like, but we do our own mashed potatoes, and that is one of the potatoes that we serve for our Thanksgiving.
That's one of the shortcuts you should never take.
Oh gosh, the box mashed potatoes.
Please don't.
No. Those are not good.
They're good if you're having like a seventh grade school play and you need snow. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they're good for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Somebody breaded something with those potatoes one time, and it wasn't terrible, but yeah.
It doesn't taste right.
Potatoes don't take any time to cook.
No.
And any tips out there for the amateurs? You know, there are people who hardly cook at all year, and then they do want to have Thanksgiving, and then they're a little overwhelmed.
Well, go find a friend that has Thanksgiving party and join them.
That's true. Everybody's always happy to have a few more at
the
table.
Just don't try to get too elaborate. Uh-huh. Try to do it simple, and it'll turn out better.
Right.
You know, baby steps.
Mm-hmm. If you
don't cook on a regular basis, just take baby steps and cook something
just
simple.
Keep simple.
And good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. Are you guys getting hungry? Getting ready for tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tomorrow I'm closed,
today.
Though.
You're closed?
Yeah, we are too.
All right. Good. Well, enjoy the holiday.
Thank you very much.
Right.
Shelley Nan is owner of Bamboo Thai. Abraham Saloon is owner of Saloon Restaurant. It's been wonderful to have you both here.
Thank you so much.
Think is produced by Stephen Becker and engineered today by Eric Bright. Lindsay Connect is assistant producer. Jeff Whittington is executive producer. You can find me on Twitter at Chris Boyd Think, and you can contact the show via email at think@kera.org. Once again, I'm Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening, and have a happy Thanksgiving.